answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA. I woke up this morning, got myself a gun. Mama always
said I'd be the chosen one. According to the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability, evidence reveals that President Joe Biden knew of, participated in, and directly benefited from his family cashing in on the Biden name. Through evidence uncovered in financial records, wire transfers from foreign entities, emails, testimony from credible IRS whistleblowers, texts, and transcribed interviews with the Biden family associates, the evidence paints a clear picture. Most intellectually honest and objective people would call this a smoking gun. But unfortunately, most members of the mainstream media do not fall into this category these days. That's why most Americans have turned away from mainstream media outlets. These media outlets have lost all credibility because they refuse to dig deeper to answer the legitimate and obviously newsworthy questions that many Americans have about the evidence showing President Biden's central role in his family's unethical business schemes.
Now, those are the comments and the opinion, I should add, of Tennessee GOP Congressman John Rose. It's his opinion that everything we've seen already says Joe Biden is deeply, deeply linked to Hunter Biden. And basically, there are reasons to impeach Joe Biden. He didn't bring those words up at that point. But to impeach Joe Biden on high crimes and misdemeanors. And treason is another one that falls in that category. John Rose is among others who think that we're not going to let this Hunter Biden story die. Hunter Biden, of course, is supposed to have a full deposition and then appear in a public hearing at some point. And then Eric Schwerin, one of their business associates at one time that mostly handled the money, not only for Hunter, but Joe Biden is under subpoena to testify. And Hunter Biden hates him and probably fears him. That would mean Joe Biden is the same, hates and fears the guy because what he knows apparently the books and how things were moved around. Now, whether or not he can prove it, that's going to have to wait, okay? It's easy to jump to conclusions, and I have an opinion that I tend to think that, yes, Biden is guilty in some things here that may well be impeachable, but I hear you, I hear you, I hear you. Larry, do you have the actual proof? I wish I did, but I don't. So you're just speculating. You're telling us what not to do, and yet you're doing it. Yeah, in a way I am. But we want to bring that back up because this story about Hunter Biden and Joe is just, to their pleasure, just keeps shutting them aside. They're willing to talk about immigration and talk about Texas and razor wire, and they're willing to talk about immigrants in the nation already and what they're doing or not doing and to battle over immigration law, but they really don't want to get back into impeachment issues. They think if we don't talk about it, it will go away. Well, it ain't going away, and we're going to continue talking about it. Thanks again for joining us. Here we are, Feb 2, 2024. This is the second of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA, and back-to-back right here for you, Monday through Friday evening. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video at Larry Connors USA Facebook, Twitter, and Rumble. Also, News Talk STL, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter, and YouTube. And everything is in, after it airs, is put up, both the audio and video, as a podcast at LarryConnorsUSA.com and also at Larry Connors USA Facebook. So if you can't hear and watch everything right now, you can always go back and pull up that particular date, program, and search for it. You're going to find it. It's all there. We don't edit it to make it sound better. Well, this really, you can't do enough editing to make me sound better. Come on. But we don't try to change facts or anything like that. if I make a mistake, I'm going to make a mistake. It's going to be there. It's on the air. If you're listening to it, it's going to be on the program. But I also encourage you, when you go back at your pleasure, please share that podcast with someone else so they can get involved. Now, a lot of people, I had a guy the other day said, so you have a podcast? No. I have a radio show, and then we produce a podcast from the radio show. Which brings me to, I might as well mention right now, a lot of people think, you know, they hear Joe Rogan. He's the only guy in the business really making a lot of money. And I just saw a piece that he just got a really big deal. Oh, I don't know if I can find it here fast enough, where he is going to be making all kinds of money by a deal he's put together for his, quote, podcast. So if I could do his kind of deal, you're right, I'm out of radio. I'll go right into podcast. He just struck a $250 million deal with Spotify, including distribution on YouTube. Well, they won't let me on YouTube, so I guess I won't get $250 million. Yeah, I'm going to think about it. Just look at this as a podcast, and you guys all send me $30 a week. How's that? I still won't get that $250 million. Now, an update on the impeachment effort. And this is the devil in the details type thing. First of all, Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat, New York, rushing the Senate to a migration vote, probably by Wednesday. He wants to make sure there's little time for senators or voters to understand the 200-page rewrite of immigration law. Where have we heard this before? Oh, that's right, the Obamacare bill. And as Nancy Pelosi said, we won't really know what's in it until we vote for it. Congressman Todd Young, Republican of Indiana, was asking reporters after the rush schedule was announced, will Republicans have an opportunity to speak as it relates to this bill, perhaps even modify it? Congressman Republican Senator Kevin Cramer, North Dakota, said, details are going to matter. Next week could be a quick turnaround, but the thing about text and why it's so important is that the legal language matters a great deal. So they're suggesting the bill seeks to reduce Joe Biden's 2024 migration crisis by redirecting even more illegal migrants toward newly created legal doorways. We already know that was part of it. They've said we will allow 5,000 illegals into the country every month. That was part of it. Maybe 8,000. Christian Sinema, independent of Arizona, one of the three Senate negotiators, admitted there needs to be a great deal of care in writing immigration laws. Even the most minor change can have unintended consequences. Well, that's true. But again, Senator Mike Lee, Republican Utah, demanding more time. Give us a month-long study period. But Schumer said, oh, a few days are enough. You'll get it. You're fast readers. When they're trying to slip something by that fast, you know, they got their hand on your wallet already. Speaker Mike Johnson stating today, by the way, President Biden's staff is keeping him from taking executive action to stem the flow of migrants on the border. He has the authority, he knows it, I've documented it, but his own staff is saying, oh, I don't think you can do that. And in the meantime, we have the situation in New York where police officers trying to break up a group of illegals who are wrestling or fighting each other. Then they turn on the police officers and start beating the hell out of them. Let's pick up that New York TV report.
They brutally attacked a New York City police officer and a lieutenant. Our criminal justice system is upside down. It fails every day.
Governor Hochul behind the podium hinted deportation should be looked at for the migrants involved in the attack before saying it plainly and clearly.
Get them all and send them back. We don't touch our police officers. We don't touch anybody.
Republican Staten Island Congressman Nicole Malliotakis blaming politics.
Democratic policies at City Hall have made this much more difficult for our law enforcement than it needs to be.
But the road to capturing and convicting all of the attackers involved is getting rocky, as some have reportedly already fled the city.
And the problem that ICE has is that because the NYPD is prohibited from sharing information, and the city is denying any detainer requests, it makes it very difficult.
While officials in Mayor Adams' administrations argue joint local and federal pursuit of the accused shouldn't be that tall of a hurdle.
If the federal authorities are able to get a warrant for the arrest of these individuals, we are allowed to work with them and participate with that.
Meantime, Assistant Commissioner Cass Daughtry posted this video to X with a warning to the suspects.
We will scour the globe to find you if you commit any type of assault on one of our police officers.
Yeah, and Governor Hochul, again, as I'd said in the previous hour, she's saying, let's get them back. They set them free. They all went free on no bail except for one. And two of them immediately jumped on planes and went to California to get out of the state. And now she's saying, let's get them back. And do not tell me you need a federal immigration request to hold them. If they assaulted your police officers, you've got a, that's a felony attack on a police officer. Not in New York. Then we got the situation in Chicago as a journalist reports what's happening there.
Set the scene for us with what's happening in Chicago with this migrant crisis.
Wow. Well, you know, this migrant apocalypse is really what I'm hearing now. Every Chicagoan that I talk to say that they've survived the lockdown, the looting, you know, the violent crime, and now they've got to deal with this migrant crisis that they believe it will be the death knell of Chicago, that Chicago is doomed. This is what I'm hearing from Chicagoans everywhere I go. The only industry that's really thriving in Chicago is the migrant industry.
Yeah, the migrant industry. The NGOs, all the money we're giving them to take care of them and the housing, the hotels, and the food, those that are selling those goods and making those facilities available, they're making money. And then looking across the nation, surprisingly enough, in the middle of the country, you've got one city stepping forward and saying, hey, we will take migrants.
Topeka, Kansas, inviting migrants to come to its city. Apparently, there's too many open jobs that are not being filled. So leaders there are offering $15,000 checks to anyone who wants to move. The city's Democrat mayor saying, quote, we have to have people here who are willing to work and make this the city they want to raise a family in, get a career in.
So $15,000 if you want to go to Topeka and get a job. Does that mean just illegals? Or can anyone say, well, I'll go to Topeka for $15,000. Is there stipulation rule on how long I have to stay or where? In the meantime, what are we doing about Iran? Not just what we're doing today or this weekend, but going forward. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, he's ready for action.
Why didn't this happen on Trump's watch? Iran was afraid of Trump. He killed the head of their Revolutionary Guard, Soleimani. Biden has yet to hit Iran directly. The Iranians could care less how many Houthis you kill. They could care less how many Iraqi militia you kill. The only way they will change their behavior and stop killing Americans and attacking our troops and trying to bomb ships in the Red Sea is for Joe Biden to hit their oil infrastructure and start killing their soldiers inside of Iran. I'm not asking to invade Iran, but I am calling on President Biden tonight. Go to the source of the problem. If you don't hit the Iranian oil infrastructure and hit them in the wallet and make them fear you, they're going to keep killing our soldiers. So, Mr. President, hit Iran and hit them now and hit them hard to protect Americans in harm's way.
And then our three troops were killed last Sunday. They arrived today at Dover Air Force Base, President Biden meeting them. Three flag draped coffins. Hopefully he didn't spend his time looking at his watch as he'd done on a previous such event. But Senator Cotton says he said days ago we're going to do something, but that was since Sunday, and here we are Friday. What the hell are we doing?
It's not just waiting for 4 or 5 days since the three Americans were killed and dozens wounded, some critically. It's 3 years of Joe Biden's failed Iran policy. Secretary Austin admitted to me last year in a hearing that there had been over 80 attacks on American positions, and we'd only retaliated four or five times. And that was before the October 7th atrocity in Israel. Now, just in the last 3 months, it's been over 160. And we continue to look the other way, turn the other cheek, to shoot at empty warehouses in the desert. And it's sounding increasingly like that's exactly what's going to happen here. We are telegraphing what we plan to do. As Jennifer Griffin said, most of Iran's key leaders in Iraq and Syria have already hightailed it back to Iran, and it certainly sounds like the secretary and the president have taken off the table entirely targeting Iranians or Iranian assets.
And how many times do we hear them say, we don't want to widen the war? And every time I hear it, I'm asking you to ask, are they saying it for the Americans to hear, or is it meant for Iran to hear? Well, John Roberts of Fox News asked a similar question of Senator Cotton.
What we hear from the Biden administration, we don't seek war with Iran, we don't want to escalate, we don't want to broaden this war. It sounds like they're scared to death to do that.
Well, they are scared to death, and Joe Biden's been scared to death since the moment he took office. That's why we saw the fiasco in Afghanistan in 2021, why Vladimir Putin thought he could get away with invading Ukraine, and now why Iran thinks it can just keep shooting rockets and missiles and drones at our troops throughout the region. You know, they talk about they have to go through with exquisite care to identify whether Iran knew about this or that attack. Iran has been training and arming and equipping and advising all of these militias and terrorist groups for years. Who cares if they knew about this specific attack? They're responsible for what you see in Jordan that killed our troops, what you see with Yemeni outlaws shooting missiles at one of our naval ships last night. What's frankly what you saw on October 7th when Hamas committed its atrocity against Israel. Iran is responsible for all of these things. And unless we take action like Donald Trump did against Qasem Soleimani in 2020, or Ronald Reagan did when he sank half of Iran's navy in 1988, these attacks will continue.
And one of the things I said we could do short of attacks is impose sanctions again. No oil shipments are allowed to leave Iran and go to China, and they collect money so they can continue to fund their proxies. Well, the Biden administration must be listening to me to some extent. They announced today sanctions targeting the cyber arm of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard and their networks that would contribute to the Islamic Republic's drone weapon program. So supposedly we're hacking in so they can't control their drones. Is that what I'm to understand? That's assuming it's actually sent by Iran. They're involved anyway. That we know. Well, news here, news for you right now. Joe Biden is going to East Palestine 1 year and 1 day, or sometime later this month, after that train derailment that caused so much sickness, evacuations, and he kept saying, I care about you, but no, he really didn't. And in fact, a question got raised in the White House press room, and I got to tell you, KJP kind of went over the edge over the question. Also, if you were listening the previous hour, I told you I'm not sure I'll be able to finish the program because I'm getting texts from Taylor Swift. She has an interest in me more than the KC tied in, I guess. And I don't know if I'm going to have to leave during this hour or not, but we'll do what we can until I have to leave. And maybe I'll be moving. And if I move, I have a perfect mover. In fact, coming up, my guest has some inside information on how you need to move when you need to, for whatever reason. Oh, by the way, Fannie Willis is admitting, yes, I'm in a love affair. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 844-493-0. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Oh, people, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local?
Really good.
News Talk STL at 1019 941 and News Talk STL.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield has some great events coming up this month. Here's one to mark on your calendar. Feb 15, Scott Biancardi from STL Cigars will be hand-rolling smokes right there in front of you. Feb 15, plus Stolock whiskey tasting, all happening at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. I'm often in for a smoke. If I'm there, make a point to introduce yourself. And for more events, follow Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on? The Rob Carter Show. Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
Well, I walk into the room, passing out $100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill. And I buy the bar a double round of Crown, and everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same. 'Cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise, 'cause the girls, they are so pretty. Riding up and down Broadway on my old stud Leroy, and the girls say, save a horse, ride a cowboy. Everybody says, save a horse.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. In full transparency, my next guest is a sponsor of this program. I like to do this from time to time with my sponsors, one, to show you our relationship and you get to better understand them because what they offer, this is not to be a commercial, but just giving you expert information as it relates to their industry. And I was going to be interviewing Josh McGuire with McGuire Moving and Storage. They've been in business 80-plus years, but he had an emergency come up. Might have been because I sent a message that I'm really going to grill you, Josh. But anyway, Christine Hart Dawson is with us. Christine, welcome aboard.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for making this exception and having me on today.
Actually, it's a much more pleasant voice than Josh down to it.
Oh, thank you.
And let's begin with, obviously, there are a lot of moving companies, and I know you're in competition, and yet at the same time, you all share the same situation when it comes to dealing with clients. What is the biggest complaint that normally comes from any moving client going into the job and then after a job?
Yeah, sure. That's a really good question.
That's what I do, Christine. Good question.
Yeah. Great question, Larry. So, in my experience, I'm kind of the one on the receiving end of a lot of the calls that come into our office.
Right.
And what we hear a lot is people have obviously moved in the past, not their first time moving, but they've had bad experiences with other moving companies, whether it be, a moving company not showing up at their scheduled time, right, or more often just damages from moves, things like that. They're usually a little more reserved when they've had bad experiences on who to hire next and who to try next.
Now, you mentioned damages. So I'm sorry, go ahead.
Please go ahead, Larry.
Well, since you mentioned damages, that is one thing that is often reported. What's needed for a client to verify that it was this way when you picked it up and now look at it? And who's to say it happened during the move or after they had it in the house, something happened?
Yeah. So, typically there's a couple steps that we go through with a customer. One way that we make them feel more comfortable is our move coordinators go on site prior to the move, just to survey their home and survey their household goods, to see what condition they're in, what type of household goods they have, how are we going to move them in and out of this house and in and out of that house. So, you know, we kind of go through that process and have a lot of conversations. You know, we can note damages then or have conversations about damages that are pre-existing at that time.
Sure.
But also when our movers show up, our movers also kind of are very thorough. But we've been doing this really long enough that we can also at many times tell if a damage is current or pre-existing as well. But, you know, at McGuire, we kind of operate a little bit more under a mindset of integrity with these things. You know, we offer a standard. We kind of go a little farther than just like your basic 60 cents per pound that a lot of movers offer in a move. We offer what we call a standard valuation, which means during a move, if something is to break, we're either going to repair it, replace it, or, you know, reimburse for it. And again, you know, we just do whatever we need to do to make a customer happy in the end when it comes, you know, to their furniture.
Well, all I can tell you is that when Bubba brought his pickup over, he damaged some of my gear, and I didn't get a damn thing back. But I will tell you this. I do know that, and we're talking about, you mentioned going on site for estimations. I know there are some companies that just say, well, how many rooms you got? Three bedrooms, and then they just kind of estimate. And then the estimation is way off. So on site seems to me like the best way to do it.
It is. I think not everyone really realizes how much stuff they have. I hear that all the time. You know, it's not very much stuff. And then we show up on site and it's, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds that is actually being moved. So I think, you know, again, when you live with your stuff all the time, you don't really realize how much stuff you have. And a move coordinator is doing just that. They're showing up on site and helping you sort through exactly what's moving, how much is moving. And then again, we're able to assess each piece of furniture and how we're going to approach each piece of furniture, specifically with the customer. But also we're able to get a better understanding of how much stuff, the scope of work, what type of equipment is necessary, where is the truck parking, how long is the walk for our guys.
Right.
There's just so much consideration that goes into providing estimates for a move.
I know. May I interject? You mentioned the walk, the distance, and so forth. Often you're looking at a time limit that you give them as well. Is that correct? That you say?
We do. When we estimate these things, we're telling them it's generally going to happen within, you know, from, let's say, 6 to 8 hours, right? And we're going to make sure that we provide a crew that's sufficient to accomplish a move within a 6 to 8 hour period of time. But we do give a range of cost when we're providing estimates, and the customer pretty much knows about how long it should take.
And again, being there where you could actually see the facility, I had years ago had someone, they came and saw everything. They made an estimate. Well, it was about 2.5 times longer because there was only one elevator they could use. They thought they could use both elevators, and it's a high rise. So, I mean, that's got to be taken into account as to what you're going to be able to use and when. What about the other thing? Most good companies should be bonded, right?
Yes, sir. And we are both licensed and bonded.
I mean, and every company, if it's going to be legitimate, should be. Because if they're not, that becomes a big issue. Then when you get into go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think you see a lot of that in our industry is just little mom and pop operations that are, you know, just two guys with a van that are moving things. But again, are they insured? Are they bonded? Are those things that they can offer you should something happen to a building or your home or your household goods during that move?
Now we're talking about residential, but then you like some of the others also do commercial. What's the biggest issue in dealing with a residence, a home, and then a commercial or an office? Obviously the amount of equipment, size of it, files, things of that nature.
Yes. And many times when we do commercial moves, you know, the volume of what we're moving is much larger and it takes more time to accomplish the move, but also the pieces that we're moving can be quite different, in a commercial move versus a household goods move. So, again, commercial moves need lots of consideration so we can see everything that's moving and determine, you know, what's the best plan for getting everything moved from A to B. Many times commercial moves do have to go up and down elevators. Right. So not everything fits in an elevator, you know, for a commercial move. So those are things that we have to consider as well. But you know, we do lots and lots of commercial news.
Do you have some things that you say we just can't move that?
We don't like to say that. We do say that. But generally we'll check out the piece. We're very solution oriented. So if we can't do it, we'll know somebody that can help or that can work alongside our team right. and help with it.
And then you go from local moves to not just cross state, but international moves. Once it leaves our nation, what's the liability and the control of a moving company?
Well, I mean, that's an even, bigger conversation, Larry, but there's even more factors involved, once it's going to a different state or, as you mentioned, even to a completely different country. So there's so many more things to consider in terms of how it's getting there. What is your budget to get it there? What are the goods that are moving? Many times with international moves, customers have to really reduce what is moving because of the way in which it's being transported. But still, all the coverage that would apply to a local move is still intact, whether it's a long-distance move or an international move. We guarantee our services regardless of where it's going.
You're listening to Christine Hart Dawson. She is with McGuire Moving. And again, in full transparency, they are a sponsor of the program. I'm not trying to hide anything from you. But there's also the issue of storage or people preparing and putting their own stuff in a pot of some type that's delivered, and then they decide on their own time frame and so forth. That seems to be growing in popularity. What have you seen on the national scene?
We definitely agree that that's growing in popularity, so much so that we even brought in our own container division at McGuire Moving. So that we could be a part of the do-it-yourselfers that really want to, do some of the moving themselves and be a little bit more budget-friendly. So we definitely see that trend.
Maybe it's going into storage, right? Not actually, they don't really want to move anywhere, except they just need room or they want to put it away. They're going to be overseas or gone for a period of time.
You got it. And we offer warehouse storage, too. Climate and humidity-controlled warehouse storage is something that we utilize on a daily basis. We're in and out of our storage facility every single day. But again, there are certain types of clients that works for versus the container storage. And that's why our move coordinators would help determine, what would be best for our customer.
So I call you up and I say, I have a large elephant I need to move. Hello? Hello? Are you still there?
Yes.
Yes, sir. I didn't know what. Where are we going now?
a large elephant, Larry. Well, we've moved some pretty strange things.
Really? Like what?
In the over 80 years that we've been around. Like the types of artwork that we move for our customers and statues.
Right.
I've seen large Buddhas that we've moved. And again, when we're kind of getting into artwork, savvy customers.
Sure.
We are definitely having to be solution oriented for some of those moves.
Well, again, I thank you very much. I obviously appreciate you being a sponsor, and my listeners are very loyal to my sponsors, and now they've gotten a chance to know you and McGuire Moving and Storage better. They did not get to know Josh, and maybe that's a good thing, but tell him I said that. He'll be listening.
I won't tell him. won't hear this at all, Larry.
Listen, I appreciate it. It's been a very enjoyable conversation, very informative, and I do appreciate it. Thank you
very much for the time.
You bet.
Thank you so much, Larry.
You bet. Christine Hart Dawson again, representing McGuire Moving and Storage in 80-plus years of business. She's not obviously that old. Neither is Josh. But, again, it is a sponsor. You make your own decision. But at least you got some information on what you should expect from any mover. And, of course, I'm going to recommend you support our sponsor.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary. and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers could help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself. Mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me. On Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
One of the five most traumatic experiences in life is moving. I can assure you that McGuire Moving can help ease that pressure. Moving into a new home or a new business, locally, internationally. McGuire is rated number one. More than 80 years of experience. Free estimate, call McGuire, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, Fannie Willis has had to come to a conclusion that could not be avoided. Now she's got to try to explain her way out of it. And I don't really care about Fannie Willis's love affair, nor did I really care that much about Agent Smurf. You know what I'm talking about, the FBI agent, his love affair with Lisa Page, any more than you care about my affair with Taylor Swift. I wish I hadn't mentioned that one. Let me stick back to the subject of Fannie Willis here. She's now acknowledging, of course, she is a Fulton County, Georgia district attorney. She's acknowledging developing as what she calls a personal relationship. Now, what does that mean, a personal relationship? I think, Quentin, is it fair for me to say we have a personal relationship? I don't think we have the same relationship. I know we don't. But she's looking to kind of dismiss and push this around. Keep this in mind, because her personal relationship, she says, never involved direct or indirect financial benefit to District Attorney Willis, who that would be her. She filed the response to allegations of one of Trump's co-defendants of a conflict of interest and an improper romantic relationship. That's different than a, what was her term, a personal relationship or a romantic relationship. It's a little bit different. She said in the court filing that the salacious allegations do not reach the legal grounds required for her to be disqualified from the Georgia election interference case. She wants to continue to going after Trump. All this goes back to the 2020 election case. And they are claiming, of course, that Donald Trump and his allies tried to overturn the 2020 election in Georgia. And of course, that's yet to be decided. And it's one of the weaker cases of any that had been presented, but some are saying whatever merit it had went out the window since it became obvious that she had this relationship, however you want to qualify it, with the guy she hired to work on it. Special Prosecutor Nathan Wade. Now, she, in accusations filed today, wrote again, the motion against her to get her taken off the case is salacious and designed to obtain media attention, as if what you're doing was not designed to obtain media attention. Now, I'm not talking about reference your relationship, but going after Donald Trump. And there have been records from the White House logs showing that she and Nathan Wade went to the Biden White House eight or more times. What was discussed, and were they plotting to how we can build a case against Trump? They were dealing with legal issues, but what would Biden know about any legal issues involving Georgia and Donald Trump? Now, in an affidavit she attached, or rather that Wade attached, he insisted he was no more than friends with the district attorney prior to him being hired in 2021. He said, we developed a personal relationship. There's that word again, personal, not romantic relationship, in addition to our professional association and friendship. So one of the defendants, along with Donald Trump, said charges need to be dropped. Obviously, things are going on behind the scenes. Now, Wade at the time, about the same time, was in the process of divorce. And there's nothing like a scorned woman. And in this case, she's making it known that they were having the affair. Her attorney filed bank statements showing flights to San Francisco and Miami in the names of her ex or would-be ex. That would be the prosecutor that she had hired, her investigator, Nathan Wade, and Fannie Willis. It's in their names, taking flights to San Francisco and Miami. There also been reports that they went on various cruises. And she's insisting, I didn't pay him anything. She arranged for the payment. She hired him, paying him something like $660,000 when he does not have the legal expertise for the case that they're talking about. And as a payback or a friendly gesture or just an appreciation, he said, hey, Fanny, I'm thinking about going on a cruise. Want to go with me? We'll fly down to Miami and take a 7-9 day cruise. You want to go? Sure. And she knows he has the money because she authorized the money be given to him. He doesn't have to explain his personal expenses, except now because it involves her. So Wade's wife subpoenaed Funny Willis, as I call her, for a deposition in the divorce case. That testimony is on hold after the Wades, both of them, reached a temporary agreement settling the matter. One of Jocelyn Wade's lawyers had previously accused of Funny Willis of, quote, trying to hide under the shield of her position. All of this for the Trump team and the others that are supposedly accused of trying to steal the election in Georgia, this is like guts spread all over the road. You cannot get from one side to the other without stepping on something. Because whether or not she actually violated a federal statute, the perception, and by federal statute, let's say a state statute, the perception that they were kind of having some funny Willis business, and he was just taking her on trips. That's okay, except she hired him, and he has really no experience for it. No one can show any kind of background for them, and probably would have gotten away with it if he weren't trying to divorce his wife or get away from her. As I said, a woman scorned is not good. And often they may have rights. Last hour, in case you missed it, we were talking about illegal immigrants being able to fly on planes with you. In 2022, 2 years and 1 day ago, word came out of the Transportation Security Administration confirming, yes, we have allowed illegal immigrants to use their arrest warrants as a valid proof of ID to board a flight. And we've done it for more than a year. In other words, all the way back to 2021. Have you ever tried to do that, by the way? You show up at the airport and you don't have your ID. Make sure if you ever got a parking ticket or something, use your parking ticket. See if they'll let you on board. See how that goes. It won't. As you claim, no hablé inglés, and I'm in other words, I'm an immigrant, illegal. Well, then they're going to give you a pass. They will write you a ticket. They will print you a ticket. They will give you a seat assignment, maybe, and you get on board. Whether or not they fully inspect you for any arms or any threatening weapons of anything of that type, it's not very clear. With the TSA admitting that, and again, that was back in 2022, and they admitted they'd been doing it for a year, it had verified at that time what we all were reporting, that in the middle of the night, the Biden administration was flying illegals from border cities, dropping them off in the middle of the night at some northern city, normally not a big metropolitan area, went in late at night, early morning, so no detection was made. And then when Governor Abbott and DeSantis start sending buses up, oh my God, they're forcing these people on these buses and sending them to areas they don't want to go. But again, reference to how Biden was doing this with the Department of Homeland Security and his Secretary Mayorkas. While you are still required to show a valid government issued photo ID, illegals can simply use court documents that they got arrested to freely fly about the country. Is there anything there that sounds common sense? No, Larry, there's not. Thanks for asking. Thanks for playing the game. We'll move on. Let's forget it. Well, I'm not going to forget it because I'm afraid that at some point this kind of nonsense is going to end up in some kind of skyjacking that will lead to a tragedy. I pray not. But we're opening ourselves up for that. We're opening ourselves up by leaving the border open. And Biden continues to insist, well, if I just had the money, I could shut it. He's got every law available to him already. It was already in place when he came in. It's only open because he's allowed it to be open. And Chuck Schumer now trying to push through a bill that would basically create a pathway of citizenship and allow 5,000 illegals a day. Over a year time, you're talking about another million coming in. But now they're going to have what basically is, we're certified to come in this time. They've already been doing that with their so-called parole program. This next election is so damn important. Do not take your eye off the ball. Well, of course, speaking about the next presidential election, the UAW the other day announced we're going to endorse Joe Biden for president. But then almost right after that, the UAW president admitted that most of our members will be going to Trump. And Donald Trump explains why.
If Biden gets elected, you won't have an auto worker working in the United States. Everything's going over to China and other countries outside. This electric car mandate is insane. They don't go far, they cost too much, and they're going to be made in China because they have the material to make it. We have a thing called gasoline. We have oil and gas. We have gasoline. And that's what people want for the most part. Now, I'll say this. If you want to buy an electric car, you should be able to. But if you want to buy internal combustion, if you want to buy a hybrid, if you want to buy, you should have everything, everything for sale.
Everything for sale. That's what a free independent country would be. if you want to get an EV and find that you can't get as far as you wanted to, and if it in the dead of winter you're running the heater and defroster, it runs your battery down quicker. Or you get to a charging station and they're all filled up with others. Maybe some had parked their car for the day and gone off to do something else. Or once you get to the charger, it's not going to be working. And for that reason, the Biden administration said, we're going to need more charging stations, more charging stations. If you've noticed the charging stations that they're putting up around hotels and our basic shopping centers, you have to walk a long ways to get to that charging center. You no longer can pull up in one of the closest spots. Just the inconvenience. And, of course, you're running past numerous gas stations before you ever get there. But again, if that's what you want, you're entitled to it. Spend your money. And I hope it works out well for you, that you don't get in trouble during the summer, during the winter, or you have a fire in that battery and it destroys the car and maybe endangers your life. Well, of course, gasoline cars can blow up, Larry. Yep, they can. But with today's technology, extremely rare, unless you make an enemy of someone. And then, of course, you also have to watch out, even if you're driving a gas or electric vehicle, you need to be aware of this. Drunk drivers, of course. But if they're an illegal, oh, stand by, you don't know how big this one is going to get. If you are an illegal in our country and you're caught drunk driving and you're convicted, the overwhelming majority of House Democrats have voted they will not have you deported. They will not have you deported. 150 House Democrats voted against Protect Our Communities from DUIs Act. That was introduced by Alabama Republican Barry Moore. That would make drunk driving grounds to be ineligible to be in the nation. In practice, it would ensure that Immigration and Customs could swiftly take those illegals convicted of drunk driving and deport them. And do you have any idea how many drunk illegals have killed Americans? Well, the Republican Moore said on the House floor, there was a newlywed couple from my hometown in Alabama. I knew them personally. They were riding their motorcycle together when an illegal immigrant, under the influence of alcohol, collided into them with his pickup. Their lives cut dramatically short. And sadly, tragedies, he said, like this are not uncommon. So the Democrats, who are all about no more guns, no more guns that kill people. And where's some Mothers Against MAD? Drunk driving. Where are they here? Why are they not shouting out here about this? And that's just the latest stupidity on behalf of some of the leftists. 155 voted against Tom McClintock, California Republican, on a bill that would ensure ICE agents can promptly deport illegals convicted of using Social Security fraud against you. They steal your Social Security number? They're getting things on your number. They get caught. They could be convicted, but they're not going to deport them. This country is open for crime from anyone at this point, and terrorism. We have lost our legal and moral compass. Pray every night that we find it before it's too late. Therefore, I always remind you to remember our pledge, one nation under God.